You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business talk radio show features the obstacles and challenges that are common to business everywhere around the world. Most importantly, you'll connect with thousands of success stories on how business people overcame these hurdles on their road to success. For any business owner in our listening audience who's facing a particular problem or challenge that you've not been able to solve, you might be concerned about your future, or you're just not satisfied with the financial results in your company. Reach out to us here on the broadcast at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to put you in touch with hundreds of resources that you may not have been aware are available to your business today, many of which are free. For those of you needing a professional level of assistance in your organization, many of the hosts on the broadcast also coach business owners outside of the show. We have visited with thousands of business people, seen their struggles and challenges, and their solutions to these problems. We have a clue what's working and what's not. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us today at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. Kevin Hunter here on the Business Forum Show, and in studio with me is my co-host, April Salisbury. And we're going to talk about problem solving at different levels in your organization and some of the mistakes that you might be making with regard to problem solving. And April, we were talking about my experience years ago in one of the organizations, and I was following the why, because problem solving process and uncovered an issue in the manufacturing plant that literally, when we set this aside and changed the standard, corrected the standard, a single engineering standard was standing in the way to the fact that manufacturing at the time was producing around 2,200 pairs of skates per day and went to almost 6,000 overnight when that single standard was removed for the plant. I think of things like this in business, and of course, most organizations aren't going to have a gold nugget like this sitting in front of them, but you've used the same problem-solving process as well in business. Talk about why you believe so strongly in the why, because process.
Well, you know, I think first of all, the why, because works really well because we do have so many problems in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It can be something very small to something very major, like what you said that you worked on in the manufacturing company. However, I think by, you know, first analyzing that the problem is not a person, it's mm-hmm. typically a process. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, the first happenstance is typically people want to point the finger and blame a person for a problem that has occurred instead of looking at, you know, that process that's in place that maybe could be the problem at a very basic level. And once you've identified that there is a process there that needs to be improved upon, asking that question, you know, why is it done this way? How is it done this way? Why, you know, why is it going through this process? Why is it meeting this standard? Why is it, you know, taking this amount of time? Mm-hmm. And continuing to ask that why, helps you get answers. And that way you can start analyzing all of the steps and taking it all the way through the process. Don't stop midway mm-hmm. In that process, because that's when the Band-Aid happens. You know, you mm-hmm. get the, this is why we do this. And so you say, okay, well, we're going to change this process to incorporate this, and we're going to start doing this. And you realize, okay, you may see some improvement in that process. But the Band-Aid really stops you from going further and seeing that, you know, multiplication of five in improvement and efficiency mm-hmm. and streamlining and maybe reducing your costs when it comes to that production model.
I want to go back to something that you said in making sure that you understand the problem's not a person. Mm-hmm. When I was at Deming's seminar, he made a comment. It was actually one of the CEOs of one of the largest computer companies in the world at the time, and he got up and he challenged a statement that Deming made. Deming said that 97% of all problems in any organization are a result of either poor leadership or poor processes. And the CEO got up and he was a little upset, and he gave five, six different examples of things that happened in his company. He said, how can you say this is not a people type problem? And Deming just fired back at him and said, what's wrong with your environment that people are damaging your process? What's wrong with how you treat your people that they feel that they cheat on their time cards? And what's wrong with how you... So he went right back to throwing it right back on the process and the system and the management. And then he says, the reason why I say it's 97% is I'm actually being conservative for the benefit of guys like you. I actually believe it's 98 or 99%. And so what do you think so often that business people fall on the... It's a little bit of a cop-out, but why do you think they fall on their people and blame the people instead of actually look deeper at the problem?
I think for most people, it's easier. It's easier for them to place the blame on that person, maybe reduce that person's responsibilities or even terminate that person from the workforce. You do see a lot of that in individuals or owners that are maybe more fear-based or micromanaging their employees. And, you know, what it really comes down to is their thought process is that if I can't find the right person to do this job, or if you're not the right person to do this job, I'm going to find somebody else to do it. And what they're not thinking is that every single person that they put in that role is going to run into that problem because it's a process, not a person. And instead of bringing that problem to light and solving that process problem, you're teaching people to cover it up, and you're teaching people to continue the business growth or any opportunities that may be presented is not going to happen because you're covering it up and you're not really solving the problems to help this company grow.
Well, when you mentioned about the micromanagement or the control freak, so to speak, you're describing an owner who believes that they do things the best. Nobody has ever done it better. Nobody currently does it better. Nobody ever will do it better than what they do. And so they're thinking, part of the reason that it's easy to blame this on a person for them is their thought process is, if I was sitting in that chair when that problem came along, it would have never happened because I know how to deal with it, or I would have dealt with it differently or whatever. But the point is that the minute you go beyond a single another individual besides yourself and organization, you must have the processes and systems in place that prevent problems from happening regardless of who's sitting in the chair. And so whether that would be true or not, it comes back around to the owner doesn't know how to train people. He doesn't know how to inspire people. There's all kinds of things that are lacking in that process. If somebody's making a mistake that the owner says would not happen if they were sitting in the chair.
That's also a key aspect of leadership, mind you, is that you have to have the ability to train those working for you to do a job better than you and delegate work to them so that they can accomplish those skills so that you're not having to do everything. Otherwise, you might as well run your own company and you're not going to get very big. If you're bringing employees in, you need to train them to do what you need them to do, delegate to them to keep them challenged, rely on them, and really add value to your company by solving the problems that they're running into instead of criticizing them and blaming them for the issues of your company.
So what do you think, and we're just about out of time here, but what do you think would be some basic structure or instruction you'd give somebody who says, we've not done problem solving before, where do we start?
Oh my gosh. So first thing is never ever bring up a person. And the second thing that I would say is, you know, identify where the problem is at and then start asking the question. Why? And until you get to the very end where somebody's just like, I don't know, that's where you need to start investigating.
The I don't know is the equivalent of the because. Yes. And I've shared this a lot with people about doing the why, because. And as Dr. Deming said years ago, it's okay when you get to the because and the kid doesn't know, but that because could be costing you a ton of money in business. And the example that I shared about the manufacturing situation, we were talking about hundreds of millions of dollars when it all came out in the wash. So that's how significant that is. Kevin Hunter here with Abel Salisbury on the Business Forum Show. Back in a moment. Is that the best you can do? Think about where you used this question last, and you'll probably say you were car shopping. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter. As host of the Business Forum Show, I've heard countless stories of success and thousands of tragedies of failure. As I looked at the mental obstacles we put in our pathways by default, I thought about this question. Is that the best you can do? Why not ask it of ourselves? Wouldn't it change everything if we did? The answer is yes. So I wrote the book titled, Is That the Best You Can Do? I drew from the many experiences I've had with people who are clearly not doing their best. And of course, those who were. The difference lies in the mindset and the tactics. Is that the best you can do? It teaches you how to find success by design instead of failure by default. Is that the best you can do? Visit our Facebook page, Is That the Best You Can Do? And then find it on Kindle on Amazon and start changing your life today. I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening. Kevin Hunter and April Salisbury here on the Business Forum Show. We're talking about problem solving and the importance that it has in an organization. And going back to this just a little bit, April, I think that the reason why we come to so many faulty solutions is that it's a little bit of our human nature where we think that we have to have a solution and not just whenever, but we need one like right now. In fact, you'll hear people say that all the time. This is the problem and I want it fixed right now.
Right. I think you know, in fear of being labeled as indecisive, especially mm-hmm. in leadership roles, the number one thing that you can do is say, you know, don't say I don't know, but say something like, you know, I need some time to think about that and mull it over in my head. Because realistically, to come up with some really big, you know, decisions for strategy or for a change of direction in a department or whatever it is that you're doing, mm-hmm. You need to think about it because you have to process what's coming in, what's going out. You have to process the interaction and link between all of those aspects and then produce some theories that you have to trial and error through your mm-hmm. mind.
When you think about like the quick trigger that owners can have and managers can have with regarding their employees, I've also seen the same thing happen on a company to supplier relationship. And I'll give you an example, and it's really easy for a company to just say, you know, these people screwed us, or they didn't take care of us, or they didn't ship us the quality we wanted, or whatever, and we're cutting them off and we're going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, I was with a company that going with somebody else made no sense whatsoever. These guys knew how to make exactly what they wanted. The quality was top-notch. They had used other suppliers in the past, but supply issues kept happening with the supplier. And I was riding in the cab of the truck with the CEO of the owner of the company, and all of a sudden we found out that the parts did not get delivered to the plant on time like they should. And so he asked me to make a phone call to the supplier, and I did. And they walked through the whole process of why things had happened and how they had happened and the fact that we had understood they were supposed to be there Monday and now they're not and they're not coming till Wednesday and, you know, the issues. And I told them that this has happened on a few occasions. This conversation went on like maybe 15 minutes and we, you know, he finally came to a solution of what would happen and it seemed acceptable and I got off the phone. And the first thing the owner says to me was, I don't think you care enough about this problem. And so then out of curiosity, I just ask him, why do you say that? And then he relates to me that the guy who normally would call the supplier, he says, when Tom gets on the phone, you know some things are happening on the other end. Because mm-hmm. Tom, you know, kicks butt. And I said, so what do you mean by that? And, well, the bottom line was Tom's conversation with the supplier was just 5 minutes screaming profanity, and then he'd hang the phone up. I'm going, but you still have a problem, don't you? And I said, yeah. I said, so why wouldn't you send me to the supplier? Why would I do that? I mean, it's their problem. And I said, no, I'm a process guy. I think I could help them solve the problem. Why wouldn't you send me? He said, well, it's, you know, I'm not paying for somebody to it. And I said, you are paying for this every single time they miss and you can't afford to go somewhere else. So why wouldn't you send me? And I asked him this enough times and presented enough different angles that he finally said, well, fine, if you want to go, go. And I went to the plant and I figured out what their problem was and the supply issue went away. So why wouldn't you go to the basis? When I say that people do this all the time, they're not just firing people in their companies. They're firing suppliers who are the lifeblood of their organization without ever taking the time and putting the work to help build the relationship and figure out how to fix the problem.
I am so glad that you brought this up because I'm a firm believer in building partnerships with your vendors. Mm-hmm. One is you have to really work with them, build that relationship and work with them so that they can provide you the best service. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it as from a process angle. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it like thinking, you know, I would never treat my vendors this way. I would go and have that conversation, sit down with them and say, this is what we're doing. How mm-hmm. can we, you know, make it more efficient for you to provide the service that you need to do? Is there anything that we can do to help you out? Mm-hmm. And work at it from that angle. And it's the same with people. You do the same thing with people as you yep. sit down with them and you build that relationship and that partnership because you're working together. You're taking your strengths from each side and you're mm-hmm. figuring out how you can collaborate and make that teamwork a lot better so both companies can be stronger.
Well, you know what? A great example of building that relationship, and I 100% agree with you on that. A great example of building that relationship. I don't know if you've ever set foot in a Articat or Polaris manufacturing facility or any of those places, but I can tell you that a majority of the companies that supply product to them supply it on a purchase order, and most of the time, the most they have is like a 30-day visibility of what's coming. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, it might be 60 days or whatever, but most of the time, that's what it is. One of the suppliers of both of those companies is involved in the launch of their product, sometimes 3, 4, 5 years before it's even on the market. They know what they're doing with them well in advance. And why? Because they built the relationship with the company. And to this day, they're involved in research and development and everything else that goes on in that company. In fact, the supplier of this product to Articat and Polaris even funds some of the R&D to happen behind their own product. And the interesting thing was is that the owner of the company said to me, he said, Kevin, if there's ever a little glitch or anything that goes on, he says, there's so many people we know there and there's so many people they know in our company. He said, it just becomes a tighter hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, kind of blown away by that, but that's the pinnacle of where you can be, and a lot of businesses don't see that, and they'll totally miss out on that opportunity.
There's no sense in yelling at someone that doesn't accomplish anything. It's just like mm-hmm. worrying. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything. The fact that you're building a relationship with someone, you're bringing them in closer, all I can say is that you are working together in ways that you could never have done before without that partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, you're taking both of those companies to another level. They're able to add value to your company. You're able to add value to their company. And I think that if you treat your vendors with more respect and mm-hmm. you treat them as if they are your partner, then you can accomplish so many more things on both sides. And also, you know, if it's a supply problem, whatever it may be, improve that through having a conversation with them, not necessarily yelling at them until you get your way because you're throwing a fit.
You know what? I've seen the evidence of this too, that if you take that time to invest that kind of effort in them, guess what happens when the company launches their annual price increase and sends it out to all these organizations? You are very likely one of the companies they call and they say, you know what, April, we've enjoyed working together with you and what you've done with us in this past year. We're going to keep you right where you're at. In fact, we've reduced the cost of your product by 20%. Kevin Hunter and April Salisbury here on the Business Forum Show. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. If you have any questions or comments for our staff, please reach out to us at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.